Then Brahma ji was the only one person, and he created the rest of the things after Lord created without any other help. Whatever we can understand by the nomenclature, characteristics and features of a particular thing, superior, inferior or equal, eternal or temporary, is not created from any source other than that of your lordship. Thou so great, you are so great, Brahmaji. Yet we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you when we think of your great austerities, imperfect discipline, although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation. So although you are very powerful, we always look at you because you are engaged in various austerities and in a perfect discipline. So that is giving rise to the query in the mind of Narada Muni. So my dear father, you know everything and you are the controller of all. Therefore, may all that I have inquired from you be kindly instructed to me, so that I may be able to understand it as your student. So these are the queries put forth by Narada Muni to Lord Brahma. Now what Brahma ji is saying in reply is, my dear boy Narada, being merciful to all, including me, you have asked all these questions because I have been inspired to see into the prowess of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. So your questions are helping me to think of the Supreme Lord more. Whatever you have spoken about me is not false, because unless and until one is aware of the Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusioned by observing my powerful activities. So Brahmaji also is agreeing that my activities are really very powerful activities, you know. And unless one is aware about the Personality of Godhead, one is surely will get illusioned. So Brahmaji is also agreeing, yes, this is true what you are saying. The activities that I have done are very, very powerful. I create after the Lord's creation by his personal effulgence known as Brahma Jyoti. Just as when the sun manifests its fire, the moon, the firmament, the influential planets and the twinkling stars also manifest their brightness. So this is where the humility of Brahmaji is now seen, that actually the creation is done by the Lord, just like the sun is manifesting fire, and others, you know, my creation is like the twinkling stars manifesting their brightness. I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, whose invincible potency influences them, they matlab the less intelligent class of men, to call me the Supreme Controller. So this is the mistake less intelligent people do, to call Brahma as the Supreme Controller, but Brahma is aware about his position. And why that happens? Why do the less intelligent people call him the Supreme Controller? Because the illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position, but those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of it is I and it is mine. So this is the reason why less intelligent people get bewildered, but Brahmaji is not getting bewildered. And then further he mentions how everything in this creation is by the Lord and for the Lord. So this is the shloka we are going to read. Narayana para veda deva narayanan gajah, narayana para loka narayana para makah, narayano paro yoga narayana param tapah, narayana param jnanam narayana para gati. So in the translation, Brahmaji is telling us the Vedic literatures are made by and are meant for the Supreme Lord. The demigods are also meant for serving the Lord as parts of his body. The different planets are also meant for the sake of the Lord, and different sacrifices are performed just to please him. all different types of meditations or mysticism are means for realizing Narayan. All austerities are aimed at achieving Narayan. The culture of transcendental knowledge is for getting a glimpse of Narayan, and ultimately salvation is entering the kingdom of Narayan. So this is the consciousness of Brahma. And we are going to discuss further details where by reading this particular purport, which is in connection with what we just read. Vaikarika is the neutral stage of creation and Tejas is the initiative of creation, while Tamas is the full display of material creation under the spell of the darkness of ignorance. Manufacture of the necessities of life in factories and workshops, excessively prominent in the age of Kali or in the age of machine, is the summit age of the quality of darkness. Such manufacturing enterprises by human society are in the mode of darkness because factually there is no necessity for the commodities manufactured. Human society primarily requires food for subsistence, shelter for sleeping, defense for protection, and commodities for satisfaction of the senses. So Prabhupada is writing in this purport about these four basic needs of the living entities. The senses are the practical science of life, as will be explained in the next verse. Human civilization is meant for purifying the senses, and objects of sense gratification should be supplied as much as absolutely required, but not for aggravating artificial sensory needs. The food, shelter, defense, and sense gratification are all needs in material existence. Matlab, they are needed, but they should be supplied only as much as absolutely required. Otherwise, in its pure uncontaminated stage of original life, the living entity has no such needs. The needs are therefore artificial, and in the pure state of life, there are no such needs. As such, increasing the artificial needs, as is the standard of material civilization, or advancing the economic development of human society, is a sort of engagement in darkness without knowledge. By such engagement, human energy is spoiled, because human energy is primarily meant for purifying the senses in order to engage them in satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, being the supreme possessor of the spiritual senses, is the master of the senses, Rishikesha. Rishika means senses and Isha means master. The Lord is not the servant of the senses, or in other words, he is not directed by the dictation of the senses, but the conditioned souls or the individual living entities are servants of the senses. They are conducted by the direction and the dictation of the senses, and therefore material civilization is a kind of engagement in sense gratification only. The standard of human civilization should be to cure the disease of sense gratification, and one can do this simply by becoming an agent for satisfying the spiritual senses of the Lord. The senses are never to be stopped in their engagements, but one should purify them by engaging them in the pure service of sense gratification of the master of the senses. This is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. And then example of Arjuna is given, how Arjuna wanted to satisfy his senses by his decision to not fight. But the Lord Krishna taught him in Gita just to purify Arjuna's decision for sense gratification. Therefore, Arjuna agreed to satisfy the senses of the Lord, and thus he fought the battle of Kurukshetra. Om Ajnanat Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Enam Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So first of all, I seek blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas on this online platform. So today I will be speaking about this particular aspect of our spiritual life. And we are learning from the founder of our own Sampradaya, of Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, Lord Brahmaji. Narada Muni is telling how great Lord Brahma is. Yes, that is very much certainly true. Whatever is done in this creation is done by Brahmaji only, single-handedly. And what? Look at the creation around, how much he has created. So many details, so many living entities, so much of manifestation of various material energies. When no one was there, he was there, the first living being in the creation. And he has the power to create rest of the universe. Imagine there is owner of a company who is giving the full powers to, say, managing director of the company to create and expand company in some other countries. This whole Africa belongs to you. Start the branch of our company in Africa, or go to Germany, start our branch in Germany, go to Indonesia. The owner gives full powers to create. And then MD has full powers. He can hire so many people. He can fire people. He can decide the payment terms and conditions. Everybody in that particular country is respecting and obeying his commands. So that is the power that MD has in his company. But that is just a small example. In this whole universe, Brahmaji has full powers. The way he wants to create, he can create. No, he has supreme powers. All devatas visit Brahmaji whenever there is a crisis. No, whenever there is devata and asura war, deva and dano war, Brahmaji is not involved. These people are fighting, but whenever devatas are in trouble, they will go to Brahmaji. He has full knowledge. Just now we read, Brahmaji is also telling that what has happened in the past, what will happen in the future, and how the things are happening in the present circumstances. No. And all that happening in this material world, he is not attracted to enjoy. He is sitting there peacefully doing his tapasya, meditating on the Supreme Lord. Plus, he is also managing the affairs of this universe. He has four heads. In fact, there is a small katha where one demon wanted four heads like Brahmaji. But when he got it, his head burst because he couldn't take the kind of processing that was going on in his intelligence. So, when there was problem in Durvas Muni's life, in Amrish Maharaj's story, he also approached Brahma to solve his problem. Indra, after Govardhan Lila, approached Brahmaji for solution. So, we can imagine what great position Brahmaji is having, which is exactly what Narad Muni has mentioned. But on the other hand, we read the verses where we see the humble consciousness that he has. You know, in the particular verse that we read, 2.5.12, the translation itself, Brahmaji is saying that I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, who is invincible, whose invincible potency influences the less intelligent people to call me the supreme controller. So Brahmaji is very much aware that what position he has, he cannot become proud. He knows. But the less intelligent people are putting him on that position. You know? And in another verse we just read, where Brahmaji is mentioning that these people call me to be the inspired by him only. I discover what is already created by him, and under his vision, as the all-pervading super soul, I am also created by him only. So this is the position Brahmaji knows that he is in. So he refuses to accept that he is God, the supreme controller. Imagine an honest person is put in a post of say district collector, and people who want some favors from him, they approach him and they are asking for some favors by giving a praise. Such crony people, they may flatter, but the honest district collector knows that, in fact, he feels very irritated. Now, he feels disgusted with such selfish people trying to flatter him for their own hidden motives. He knows that he is not the supreme. He is not supposed to get the bribe. And if taken, there is a chance of punishment. So all this he knows. Still, certain less intelligent people fall for such prey and then later on are potentially can get trapped and suffer. No? Those who flatter anyone like this, Bhagavatam is comparing them to the dogs, hawks, camels and asses. You know, only less intelligent persons do such flattery and only less intelligent people accept such flatteries. So why Brahmaji is thinking like this? Because he knows if this whole creation that is created, it is based on 5 gross elements and 3 subtle elements, and they are not created by Brahmaji. He knows. And these elements are set off for interaction with each other by eternal time. And that time is also not created by Brahmaji. That is why he says that the real glory should go to Narayan. And these are the 2 verses we read, that everything is meant for the pleasure of Narayan. There is an example given where people in the cities, when they get nice foodstuffs, nice grains, good fresh vegetables, we thank farmers like anything, especially during this lockdown period. We have experienced where when the sabjiwala comes to the society gate with fresh sabjis, we thank him. And when they come with variety or with special features like organic food, then it is glorified. Now, farmers are glorified like as Annadatta, which is true. But the real farmer knows that whatever the glorification he is receiving, actually it should go to the Lord, because the seed is given by the Lord. The water, sunlight, air, earth, the potency to germinate is also given by the Lord. So all elements and their interaction is done by the Lord. I am only managing the affairs of sowing them and doing that particular process at right time. But that itself is great. But I cannot accept the full greatness of giving the food to the people and call myself as the supreme Annadatta. So a real farmer knows that the glorification goes to the supreme Lord. And this keeps him humble and not get carried away by the glorification. But it is easy for the farmer, but not so easy for the others, because farmer is in continuous touch with the nature. But what today's education system has done, it has propelled the false ego of people, that I can do this, I can manipulate this, I can create this, I can control that, and that propels the false ego. No? When you are not a farmer and go to school and college and become an engineer, then you think you are independent creator. The so-called scientists, they declare that there is no God. Rather, depend on us. The crony capitalism, so-called entrepreneurs, the atheistic entrepreneurs, they want people to believe that we will provide for your needs and you don't have to believe in God. A real God-living scientist and God-living industrialists will never do that. But the less intelligent ones will think that I am the controller. Why? Because of the degree to which he manipulates the material elements. The elements are there in the world. They will start manipulating. How do they manipulate? For example, you know, earlier there was a pad, now there is an iPad. There was phone, now there is iPhone. You know, from top to laptop, from this gadget to that gadget. In our companies, we have seen so many people, when the new joiner is there, a GET, he is thinking that now I have joined the company, now I can start enjoyment. I have worked very hard to study and complete my engineering. Now I will start using this time to enjoy my life. And then he looks around. What are the objects I can buy for my enjoyment? He was driving 2-wheeler, say Bajaj scooter. Then he wants to buy Maruti car. From Maruti car, he wants to go to Mercedes Benz. From Mercedes Benz, the rich person wants to go to Lamborghini. From Titan watch, they want to go some Switzerland brand Curien. From CRM and Raymond's clothes brands, they want to go to Louis Vuitton and Gucci. So by increasing the standard of life, by going from lower type of brands to the higher type of brands, the GT thinks that, yes, that will give me happiness. I will enjoy my life. I will show up my clothes, my appearance, my brands that I am wearing and create an impression. And that exactly is also the impression given by the media. You do this and you feel like in control. You can impress people. But the problem is none of these things give happiness. The thing is, those who have the money in this world, say those rich people, the stars, they can afford all these brands. They have everything. The first time somebody sits in his own, you know, car, new car, feels so nice. But after so many months and years, it becomes the affair as usual. Similarly, with these various stars who are having so many things in their lives, it doesn't give happiness. Imagine that particular experiment that we all have learned, where the happiness given by the first gulab jamun is tremendous. But if you start feeding fifth gulab jamun, the 10th gulab jamun, it will not give the same level of satisfaction and happiness that the person got by eating the first gulab jamun when he was hungry. In fact, the hunger gets over for the 15th gulab jamun or 25th gulab jamun. He will start saying, no, I do not want. So the gulab jamun remains the same, but the happiness and enjoyment is not the same. And that is what is happening. The Mercedes Benz remains the same, but the happiness first time you got by owning that car and taking a ride is not the same after a few years. But the senses are demanding. They want something more. They are craving for more. They want to get that feeling of controllership, of enjoyership. And that is what is driving these people to try something new. Look what is happening to the Bollywood stars in the news today. Try new, try drugs. Because senses are demanding. Trying to give them certain things more than the normal standards is putting everybody in trouble. And that is how the false ego is puffed up. The ego, you know, everybody is going on their own ego trip because they feel I can afford it, I can enjoy it. So that is the, you know, sad state of affairs of the world today. So Prabhupada in one of the purports writes, who has created this concept? You know, mainly by the atheistic scientists, the atheistic entrepreneurs, the selfish people who wanted to extract money from your pocket to establish their own houses. This is all nothing but the frog in the whale mentality. What is the frog in the whale mentality? He is not aware about the ocean, the size, the shape. And he thinks that it must be in comparison to this particular whale. And he changes his size, you know, trying to figure out that what could be the size of the ocean, and ultimately it dies. So Prabhupada says, similarly, just like this frog is trying to measure the size of the ocean, the scientists, they are trying to measure the dimensions of this creation, the dimensions of God, but ultimately they die unsuccessful in the attempt. And the today's education system is also making people think that yes, they can control, they can enjoy, they can manipulate by creating so many gadgets, by creating so many artificial needs that we read in the purport, which are not required for the human society, and trying to get some kind of happiness through that, ultimately becoming totally unsuccessful in the attempt and dying miserably. There was a WhatsApp post recently circulated where a very rich lady, she says that I am getting a cancer now, but I have so much of money. I am lying in the hospital bed. I have such a big house of so many beds. But I have to lie in the hospital bed. I have so many clothes, but I have to wear this patient's clothes. I have so many cars. I could drive in the aeroplane, but now I have to sit in the wheelchair to move around. I had so many maid servants. I had so many people even to make my hairs, but now I have no hairs because of this chemotherapy that is given in the cancer. I have so much of money in the bank, but I have to only depend on the pills. You know? People used to wait for my autographs, but I have to now wait for doctor's prescriptions on the paper. So she was telling the harsh reality that all of us are, you know, waiting into this, especially the atheistic people. If we make these artificial needs into our real needs, the manufactured needs into our basic needs, then we are putting ourselves into a big trouble. That is what the purport we read. In that purport, Prabhupada is saying, just open up, he's saying that the manufacture of the necessities of life in factories and workshops, excessively prominent in the age of Kali or in the age of machine, is the summit stage of the quality of darkness. So that is what is happening. You know, such manufacturing enterprises that the human society has created is only putting people in the further state of darkness. You know, instead of elevating people, there is degradation of the consciousness. And how they are advertising these various things. There is a constant bombardment of media and making us believe that if you buy this product, you would be happy. And somehow, you know in the beginning that this is not my need. But by hearing it constantly again and again, the luxuries are made into needs and then we go and buy it. You know, you buy this brand of soap and you will get a good girlfriend. You buy this deodorant for a pleasant day. Use this bed, that car, this flight, that spectacles, and you will impress this person and that boss. Everything is manufactured. So one has to be in touch with the Shastras, with the saintly people, to understand what is luxury and what is need. What is manufactured needs and what is basic need. And that is why Prabhupada very clearly mentions in that purport that there are only four basic needs of human society. In this purport, he says the food, the shelter, the defense, and sense gratification. Yes, you know, these are the four needs. And when you work for the basic needs, and then with the rest of the energy, we try to bring people closer to Krishna. So this is very interesting. We'll try to go and have some discussion for 5 minutes, where the human civilization is meant for purifying the senses. The objects of the sense gratification should be supplied as much as absolutely required. That is the statement of Prabhupada in this purport. And not for aggravating artificial sensory needs. So how much supplies should be given to the senses? As much as absolutely required. And not for aggravating the artificial sensory needs. So on one hand, food, shelter, defense, and sense gratification, these are the basic needs of life. And that has to be satisfied. And we look that how, when we engage the senses in Krishna's service, the Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, you know, the senses start getting purified. It is a very, very scientific process. And we have all experienced it. You know, what happens? The senses are demanding so much now. And when we engage the senses in the Lord's service, over a period of time, the demand of the senses becomes lesser, 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 and lesser. Over a period of time, the senses demand very less things and they are satisfied with whatever absolutely required. I remember in the college days, you know, a group of students, they wanted to do night studies. You know, as night out karke, we'll do lot of studies. Around 12 o'clock or so, they start having this particular desire of having a hot tea. You know, around that Bharati Vidyapit area, there was no shops that day, that time, 20 years back. So the only tea shops that were open were in the Swargate. So this group of students would take out their bikes at night, 12:30, 1 o'clock, roam around trying to find out where is the hot tea shop, reach up to Swargate, take hot tea, and then come back, wasting 2 hours of night study time, whatever they had planned. So the tongue is a sense, the tongue is driving them for 2 hours in the dead of the night for a hot tea. So that is the demand. A sense can make you drive. Uti uti dhai. So Now, when we look back, the same students who have now become devotees, they are not giving even a fig to the tea. Even, you know, the branded trees, teas like Starbucks or whatever coffees you may have. Now, that is the experience of everyone who is practicing of engaging. This is a very crude example. Similarly, at whatever level the senses may be demanding, as a process, it is very scientific. Scientific means it is replicable and it can be applied to the masses. And everybody will feel that their senses are now demanding lesser. Pahile bahut kuch mangte the. The mind and senses would trouble us. But now, with lesser things also, we are able to manage our life. And in the pure state, Prabhupada is saying, they do not disturb the person in this world. So, that is the sign of our advancement. You know, on the other hand, a very important point I would like to mention here is if you ignore the basic needs, then it will create havoc in the spiritual life. You know, what are the basic needs? The food, shelter, defense, and sense gratification. Now, look at the example of, say, food. If the food is not taken in good quantity or good purity level, in the long run, it will create trouble. Then you will not be able to practice spiritual life. Take the example of defense for that matter. Defense, somebody may say, how it is a basic need? Yes, definitely we have to protect the body. That is basic level of need. But especially, say, for brahmacharis, they can think about themselves managing with the basic needs. But 95% people are grihasthas. When they have to look, they have to look at the two different angles. One is they have to look for the whole society's basic needs. They cannot think only for themselves. A person staying in the ashram can think that, yes, as long as I get enough food, shelter, defense, that is protection, then I can go on with my spiritual life of studying the shastras and preaching it to the whole world. Yes, that is what their ashram is guiding them to. But the congregation members, they cannot only think for themselves. They have to think for the whole society. They have to think for the whole society's food, shelter, defense mechanism, the sense gratification mechanism. These are the four needs. Take an example. If the defense is ignored, the Kashmiri Pandits were so much expert in the Shastra studies. They were, you know, Kashmir was considered as the high seat of learning 1,000 years back. So many Munis were staying there, Rishis were staying there in the Himalayas. The Sharda Pit is there. Our great Acharyas like Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, they have visited Kashmir and made the Pandits over there. You know, Pandits used to come, you know, that Kashmiri famous Pandit had come to defeat Nimai Pandit in Navadvip. So Kashmir was a very high seat of learning, but they neglected the Shastra study, the defense mechanism. For hundreds and thousands of years, so many invasions are happening from the western side, the Afghanistan side. Even the whole of Pakistan was part of India that time. In the Pakistan, there were so many great temples. There's a very famous temple of Narsingh Dev in Multan, or Sharda Pit is also currently in Pakistan. So, all this was part of India, and people were focused only doing the Shastra study, and Shastra was not given enough attention to. Now today, what has happened? The whole of Kashmir is gone. All those holy places are gone. So many Pandits have been driven out of that place. So one has to think long term because defense is a basic need. If you do not take care of the basic need properly, then tomorrow even you cannot practice the spiritual life. So that is about the defense, driven out. So if today we do not think of properly, 1,000 years later, even the Uttar Pradesh, Punjab, Rajasthan would be gone. The temples there, the holy places would be in danger. So this is the basic need. If the enemy side is, you know, employing all the intelligence to do research and technological advancement in evolving the defense mechanisms, if the Britishers are coming with the bandook, the guns, we cannot go and fight with talwars. So the people with Kshatriya mentality have to get up and use their intelligence to fulfill the basic needs for the whole society, number one, and for the long-term future, number two. Same thing about the food. You know, the food, one has to think that how currently for the whole society I can provide a, you know, very important good quality food, organic food, and especially prasadam. You know, then that will be so nice. Because whenever our devotees are going from here to America or any other place, the first thing they inquire, is there an ISKCON temple? Yes, they want to practice Krishna consciousness, but the one of the main basic need is food, prasad, kahan pe milega America mein? So the first thing we find out is, where is the ISKCON center there? Are there devotees around if there is no temple? Who can give me shelter where I can stay for in the beginning days of my, you know, visit there? Then I can find out some more system, you know, accommodation there and good systems. So there is a system needed for food, which is the basic need. There is a system needed for shelter. There is a system needed for defense, for the larger society and for the long-term future, both the points. And that is why Prabhupada in the same purport is telling, the standard of human civilization should be to cure the disease of sense gratification. How can we cure the disease of the whole human civilization? If I think of only myself, that I will study the Shastras and I will only take care of my food, shelter, defense and sense gratification and not think of the community and society, then I am not actually contributing properly. So, the standard of human civilization should be to cure the disease of sense gratification, and for that matter, we have to create systems to satisfy various basic needs of the large congregation that we have, the bigger society, the whole world we have. And that is the point Krishna is telling, and Prabhupada is mentioning this purport to Arjuna. Arjuna, you can satisfy your needs by going to the jungle, by not fighting in Kurukshetra. But if you do that, the larger society suffers. So you as a devotee, yes, you have devotion in the heart. But as a Kshatriya, you'll have to kill so many people. It does not matter how many people are getting, how many women are going to become widows. But in the long run, this will establish dharma. And as a total human civilization, it will be good to have a king like Yudhishthir Maharaj, where people can come closer to Krishna. Similarly, if the role of Kshatriya is to create such wonderful systems for the general public to become Krishna consciousness, in the today's world, the role of an engineer, I need to think that where I can create systems. Can I create a system of a chain of, say, for the satisfying the need of food? We can have so many Govindas or so many systems in any city and everywhere where people can get sattvic food, which is prasadam. Then that way, even the whole consciousness of the people will become more and more Krishna consciousness. The sense gratification is the basic need. We have five senses. Prabhupada also mentions that sense gratification has to be used like a salt. If it is not there, the life becomes tasteless. And if it is too much, then also it is a problem. You cannot eat that food. So sense gratification is like a salt. We have five senses. If we do not supply to the needs of the senses, persons will go psychologically problematic. You know, some basic needs has to be satisfied. If there is an eye, if there is an ear, I remember when I joined Krishna consciousness 20 years back, and there is a need, the music that ears need. Music is a basic need. It is part of the Vedic culture. But if we do not create a system where we give positive Krishna conscious music alternatives to the Bollywood music Bollywood music and songs, then people will get attracted. The whole general lot of young people will get attracted to Bollywood and Hollywood songs. But if we as devotees create some systems where we provide them wonderful music that not only satisfies their need of the ear, but also brings them closer to Krishna, that will be such a wonderful contribution to increase the standard of human civilization, to cure this disease of sense gratification. Same thing we have to do for the eyes. Same thing we have to do for the tongue. Create the system for supplying food. You know, in the ideal standard, you should supply the food freely. Because in the Vedic times, you cannot sell the food. But on the practical terms, at least create system. People are ready to pay so that they can get sattvic, good Krishna conscious prasadam. And that way, evolve. Otherwise, what will they eat? By eating all these non-vegetarian atoms in McDonald's, their consciousness only going to go down. So if we think only for myself and my family and do not think of doing the contribution to the world, if I have the time and energy, then I am not contributing to what Krishna is wanting here, bringing the whole human civilization to cure this disease of sense gratification. So we have to create systems. Imagine what our Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has done. He used printing press. Now, that is a technology, the advancement in science and technology. He called it as a Bruhat Bhagavatam, Bruhat Mrudanga, because it can go to so many people. Now, printing press is invented by someone and we are utilizing it. No? So why you call Bruhat Bhagavata, Bruhat Mrudanga? Because when I give lecture, only those people at that point of time can get benefit, but the book can go to so many. But now the technology is so much, your lectures, the Vani, also can be recorded and made available for those people who are not present at that time in that place. So even the YouTube, for that matter, can have lectures and it can go to thousands of people, and that is become Bruhat Mrudanga. So what is enabling to spread Krishna consciousness in a faster way? I was looking at the hits. Radhesham Guru has given that lecture of Gita Rahasyam series. So many series are there. The first lecture of that has got 25,000 views. And I was wondering, when we started IWAP meetings and started Gita lectures, 100 people would come, the youths. And we were counting that after 10 years of hard work, we might have crossed touching the lives of 10,000 youths. But here, using the YouTube, Radhesham Guru is able to reach 25,000 people in just 2-3 months. It has become a Bruhat Mrudanga. So science and technology, whatever the advancement, we, you know, gave some negative words to the brands in the earlier part of our today's lecture. But now I am saying the same brands, same technology can be used by creating certain systems where you spread Krishna consciousness. You evolve the consciousness of the people, you know, and that way get them. So we cannot be in the denial mode, because Kali Yuga is such that where if we cannot tap the senses of these young people, they will be tapped by the atheistic people. People are ready to pay the money for Bollywood and get tapped. And there are some entrepreneurs sitting there who are earning money. To the extent, we can also say, you know, we are using Google, now Zoom or Microsoft. These are all people where Indian peoples are working. Why not devotees, you know, create such systems by which they earn so many dollars, just an example, where even 10% if they give, the whole community's food and medical, as per the Vedic standards, can be given freely. The Annamurti is trying to do that. In one sense, some system is created where some people are giving donations and the food is given, you know, distributed. It was unheard of 20 years back. So when we are putting, you know, efforts in the direction of increasing the standard of human civilization by curing the disease of sense gratification, this is what Prabhupada is mentioning here. By engaging the senses in Krishna's service, the purification will happen. So the focus should be on two things. One is satisfying our own basic needs, and then with remaining time, energy and the skills and talents as per my particular nature that I have, I need to now think for as a contributor to the human society, where I now bring them closer to Krishna, you know. But there is one risk I would like to highlight. The risk is, when we create systems, we create new intellectual property rights, we start manipulating and, you know, and create new inventions, we might get puffed up. And that is where we need to come back to Brahmaji, that Brahmaji has created so much, but he knows that behind me is the Supreme Lord who is giving all the ingredients. So we have to learn by constantly being in touch with the Shastras like Bhagavatam, where Brahmaji is telling out of humility that, you know, I create so many projects, so many universes, so many devatas, so many living entities, but I always think of Lord Krishna. So Brahmaji is a great example. So the last point I would like to make in this today's presentation is that how Yamuna Lake is a very crystal clear, pure water. But when one drop of poison of Kaliya enters in that lake, the whole water, that body of water becomes poisonous. Nobody can stay in that water. Everybody is dead. What to speak of water, the poison spreads to the trees around. It spreads to the air. It, you know, not even allowing the birds to fly. Same is the case. What is the poison that has entered? The soul is very pure. The soul has pure consciousness. But the poison of this desire of envy has entered our pure ego, has converted it into a false ego, which is what we have been discussing. How when we manipulate the energy around, the false ego gets puffed up more and more and more. So this envious poison has spread to false ego, but it has not limited itself to that. Just like the Yamuna poison spread to the trees and airs and birds, this particular poison has spread from false ego to intelligence, from intelligence to mind, and from mind to body. The whole our existence is working only for enjoyment and controllership mentality. I and mine. So, how come a pure spirit soul has somehow started identifying himself with the matter? Pure spirit soul and matter, they are two opposite things. How come spirit soul thinks that he is this body? The body is matter. That interface is false ego. The false ego is the software that connects spirit with the matter, you know, starts misidentifying. That is the transition this false ego creates. And same thing with the world also. The Viraja river is the interface between the spiritual and material nature. You know, suddenly everybody starts thinking that this is mine and that is yours. Nobody thinks that everything belongs to Krishna. You know, imagine a laptop. This false ego is nothing, you know, something similar to the malware. Your laptop is supposed to function in a particular way, but somehow malware enters and suddenly it starts functioning in a different way. You don't know what happened to this software. It used to work so nicely. Now it has started functioning, you know, much different way. Same thing happens. The spirit soul is very wonderfully serving Lord Krishna, but suddenly because of this false ego, it starts behaving totally differently, you know. The pure water of Yamuna lake, you know, becomes red, bubbling, fumes are coming. Nobody can stay there. And same thing happens. You know, our ego starts thinking, oh, I am the controller. I am God. Why should I worship someone else as God? So this ego starts becoming more and more. So what is the solution given in the Vedic processes? There are various yogic processes are given, but the yoga asanas, the pranayam or the ashtanga yoga, you know, it can go only up to mind. It works nicely with the body, but it can go and touch the level of mind. But no process other than bhakti yoga can have access to the false ego, because the root lies in the false ego. 60,000 years of yoga practice cannot stop you from falling down and becoming the enjoyer, because the basic poison which is sitting in the false ego is not yet neutralized. What is the antidote to that poison of false ego? And that is the bhakti process. So when we start taking prasadam, chanting, dancing, feasting, externally to kuch jyada farak nahi lagta hai. But that antidote is going way deep to the level of false ego, and it has started working there. So externally devotees may seem like working like an outside karmi person. When the yogis in the Himalayas, their external change, एकदम सात्विक बन जाते हैं, दुनिया छोड़ के हिमालय में जाते हैं, वॉट एवर द भक्त रिमेन्स इन दिस वर्ल्ड, बट द प्रोसेस इज वर्किंग वे विद इन. लाइक दैट बाम्बू, द स्पेशल टाइप ऑफ बाम्बू विच टेक्स अराउंड 5 years ऑफ वॉटरिंग एंड देन सडनली इट ग्रोज. सिमिलरली द भक्ति प्रोसेस गोज वे विद इन द हार्ट, स्टार्ट्स वर्किंग देयर, यू नो, एंड स्टार्ट्स न्यूट्रलाइजिंग द पॉइजन ओवर देयर. ओवर अ पीरियड ऑफ टाइम व्हेन वी आर एंगेजिंग द सेंसेस इन द सर्विस ऑफ द लॉर्ड, the senses and mind starts getting purified. When the ego starts getting lesser and lesser, suddenly one day after 20 years, 30 years, the purity of that devotee can be seen externally also. In the beginning years, it is not so easily seen. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivera Swarupo Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das, he is not even saying that you are not body, but he is talking about your own position, that you are Nitya Das. Prabhupada disciple Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he heard this first time. He was telling us that it was absolutely revolutionary concept. that I am servant of Lord. Nobody told us this, because this concept destroys all external identifications, that I am American, I am Indian, hippie, rich, poor. You know, all that external identifications are destroyed by this one concept of being Nitya Das. That is why, you know, becoming humble is the powerful antidote to this poison of false ego. You know, this humility, by accepting that, one can definitely start purifying. So on one hand, do the contribution to the whole world. At the same time, be in the connection with the scriptures like Bhagavatam and learn from examples of Brahmaji of remaining humble. If somebody comes and flatters you, we should know our position. That yes, he is less intelligent, that's why he's flattering me. But I know the Lord behind me, he is only orchestrating all these things. So with that humble service attitude, we can do great things. And that will help us relish Krishna consciousness. That will help us give more realizations in Krishna consciousness. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Other okay, Yugal Sham Prabhu. And stop here. बस अब आवाज नहीं आया प्रभु. एनी क्वेश्चंस?
हरे कृष्णा. तुलसी प्रभु, वेरी ब्रिलियंट क्लास.
ओ थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी. आई एम लर्निंग ऑल दिस थिंग फ्रॉम ग्रेट सोल्स लाइक यू.
I rarely get an opportunity to hear from you one on one like this. Very nicely you explained about eating, sleeping, mating, defending, how there is such a need and it goes to extravagance, you know.
Yes.
How one can do great things in this world for the supreme welfare of all living beings. Actually, I appreciated this point very much, because in Bhagavatam it says, Mangalayata Lokanam Kshemayata Bhavayata. It says, actually, bhavaya means material welfare. Kshemaya means relief from miseries. And mangalaya means Krishna Prem. So, Bhagavatam says that all the three are important for the living entities. They have to have the food, clothing, shelter. Have to be relieved from the things of the world. And mangalaya is the Krishna Prema. So, you are doing a very great, good work by enlightening, you know, hundreds of children in both Krishna consciousness, besides providing them their basic, facility for living in this world. Actually, I feel very proud of you, because leaders who are leading such projects like Annamrita or leading projects like the school, they are themselves very Krishna conscious. That sends out very powerful signal to all the people below that this is the standard of devotee's life, and that is a very good example for everybody. So I am very confident that you will keep the school, you know, you will keep the spirituality as the soul of your school.
Yes, Prabhu, that is definitely the soul.
Prabhu ki, Prabhupada ki.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Right.